Good morning to everyone. Aloha. Get accustomed to saying that.
Aloha.
Aloha. So before we get started, can we observe a moment of silence for the attitude suffering out of the program, followed by a serenity prayer? Okay, before we get started, I want to take a few minutes and introduce ourselves and also introduce you to the objectives of this workshop and the fact that we're all here to help each other. Right before I came up, one of my friends, Carrie, said, "So you're here to teach us about leadership." He's jerking me around a little bit, we're friends. And those that know me know that if you jerk me around, be prepared that I have to be jerked back, exactly, because I can give it as well as I can take it. So I said back to him, "No, I'm not here to teach you anything. We're here to learn from each other. And the fact that all of you are here and all of you have something to offer, and we can take advantage of one of the greatest resources we have in our fellowship, that is each other. And we can learn from each other." The title of this workshop is Leadership in Narcotics Anonymous. How many people in this room have ever picked up a chair after a meeting? How many people have ever made coffee? How many people have ever put out the IPs at the beginning of the meeting? How many people have helped break down the meeting? How many people have sponsored others? How many people have a sponsor? How many people have been on H&I panels? How many people have done public information work? How many people have served as an elected trusted servant? So how many people consider themselves leaders in Narcotics Anonymous? If the same amount of hands should go up, that's the point. The same amount of hands should go up. I forgot to raise mine on some of that. But the point being is that leadership is just not about being elected to a trusted servant position. It includes that, but it's about leading by example and being of service. And we have thousands and thousands of leaders in Narcotics Anonymous. What we want to learn to get better at is how to identify and cultivate those leaders so that we can more effectively carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So the objective of this workshop today is to heighten our awareness of what that means, to talk about principles of delegation, accountability, communications, talk about some techniques that we have learned, that some of you have learned from some of your experiences, and how to get people involved, how to keep them involved, how to keep people motivated so that we can better carry the message. In the past several years, one of the two consistent messages we've heard at our worldwide workshops and all throughout the fellowship is that how do you get people involved? When people identify what one of their biggest challenges was back in the area, home group, region, we don't have enough willing people. How do we get more people? And you hear the same things over and over again, the same different solutions. And we want to have that dialogue with our fellowship because we've taken all that information, and we call it leadership in Narcotics Anonymous. My name is Craig, and I'm an addict. I serve on your world board. Presently, I'm serving as the vice chair of your world board, and I'm going to ask my partner to introduce herself.
I thought you told me to hold on, and I was quite willing to do it. I'm Moog, I'm an addict. I also have the honor and privilege of serving on your world board.
Thank you, Moog. Some of you might have seen over the past year in the NA Way the dialogue about leadership. Some of you may even been out to the bulletin board on NA.org and looked at the thread of emails and bulletins about leadership in Narcotics Anonymous. And as I said, the main reason we initiated this dialogue is that in response to what our fellowship has been telling us over the years, quite loudly, is that our committees are falling apart, we don't have enough people, we have more demands than people, we don't have enough willing people. So my question to you, and this is one I ask myself, is I got clean in 1987. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. When I got clean, you almost had to stand in line to be of service. Yeah, you really had to get in line. It was such a privileged thing, and I did what my sponsor did. Those folks were involved. I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, whatever y'all do, I'm doing. And it was a privilege. In our area, we were carrying the message at that time to 14 facilities in 1987. It is now 2005. When I got clean, there was one meeting every night. If you missed that meeting, you were SOL. That was the only meeting it was. I was the only one of color in Narcotics Anonymous in my area when I got clean. Today, there are well over 40, 50 groups, meetings all hours of the days, et cetera, and we carry the message into three facilities. Why is it that we do less with more? Just an example. I'm just throwing something out as some experience that I've had, that we have much more people, all colors, all kind of people, because recovery doesn't discriminate on the basis of age, race, creed, or color. And people come in, and they stay. But we're doing less with more people. So what is that about? So we want to talk about some of those things today and hear your experience and your feedback and share with each other and possibly develop, when we leave here, have some ideas of what we can go back and do to help with that situation. A different technique, a different approach, something someone else is doing that might help. The other reason we're here is that over the past couple of years, we've been in our worldwide workshops putting on these type of workshops, interactive workshops, small group, large group, and some people are here that I recognize that have had some experience with that, and there may be others that have had that same experience. This is about practice also, because we want you to take what we do and take it back and replicate it back in your area, your group, and your region. And what we found is that we can have discussions with ourselves as addicts about difficult problems. And we can find some solutions to those problems. It's not about my way or the highway and what I say goes. It's about us helping one another. And we hope that you can take some of what you learn here in this large, small group setting and take it back and replicate it on any problem in your area. We've got a couple of flip charts. Flip charts are very inexpensive. A couple of markers. Got a couple of facilitators. You got a problem, and you break it down. And you break people up into small groups, and you talk about possible solutions, and you come back as a large group, and you find some common ground, and you find some common solutions, and we can discuss those issues that are long-standing in our fellowship that are getting in the way of us carrying the message more effectively. Because bottom line, that's what it's about. So we're going to spend the next 90 minutes. We're going to start off and stay in large group, even though you're at your individual tables. And we're going to talk about what leadership looks like for you and how we can cultivate that. For me, when I think about leadership, the first thing that comes to mind is leadership is not a bad word. What I tend to believe is that addicts sometimes have problems with authority figures. I can be rebellious, antisocial, as just a part of my disease. And I've had problems with authority figures all my life. So here I am in Narcotics Anonymous, and I have this other authority figure. And I'm looking at that person being of service as somebody in authority. The only authority I have as a member of your world board is the authority to serve you. That's the authority that you delegated to me, to serve you. And there's a difference between direction and control and support and being of service. So we want to talk about that. And when I think of leadership, that's one of the things that come to mind. The other thing right quick that comes to mind is having the ability to serve and lead at the same time. Because whenever I'm of service, I'm a leader. No matter what I'm doing in my community, in my house, with my family, in Narcotics Anonymous, whether I'm picking up chairs or serving on the World Board and everything in between. As long as I remember where I came from and why I do what I do. And that's something that's very important to me, to remember where I came from and why I do what I do. And the reason I'm of service in NA is because somebody did it for me. And my life is that much better because of that. And so because of my gratitude to that, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so I've been given a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I've been given a lot of DNA. I have a life today. And because of that, it's my responsibility to be of service and to make sure that that person that comes in the door not has the same opportunity that I had, but has a better opportunity than I had when I first got clean in 1987. So we're going to talk about some of that. Let's talk about what leadership is. I'm just a couple of people. When you think of leadership, what comes to mind? Anybody? What'd you say, Wyatt? You know what? The other thing we're going to do is we're going to get a marker. I wonder if we can put a microphone back there so we can hear everybody. So why? You want to repeat that?
Guidance.
The ability to negotiate.
The ability to
negotiate?
Okay. And influence.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to call on about three more people. And then we're all, I know everyone's hands up. We're going to. The ability to follow. Right here. Raymond.
Influence.
Describe that, Raymond. Raymond. Describe that influence.
As a leader or as a trusted servant or as any position in our congregation, people are watching you, newcomers are watching you, old timers are watching you. And what you do or don't do can influence them in, for positive or for negative. So if you're chairing a meeting or your secretary, how you do your service is going to influence how other people do their service, especially when they're following you, sponsees and newcomers. And if you're a mean, trusted servant, then people are not going to, they're going to laugh, you know, back up and stuff. So influence, you got, when you're a servant, you got ability to influence people for negative or for positive.
So it's attraction rather than promotion.
Yeah.
There's a part of attraction that comes with the way someone carries themselves. Man. Let's take one more. Anybody, you got a microphone.
Showing up at a meeting clean.
Showing up. And you also, while we're here this 90 minutes and we're all working together, just as I did with Raymond, we might ask you to kind of elaborate that on that a little bit, because we can throw words out and we want to hear exactly what the thought is behind that so we can kind of drill down a little bit and really talk about some of these issues. Consistency. We'll take that one. That's a good one. Humility? Yes. Okay. Cool. Okay. Now, that was just a warm-up, something to get you thinking about when we talk about leadership and what it means for you. So what we're going to ask you to do is to come up to the boards. There are markers up here. Certainly not enough for everyone, but if you want to write, you have that opportunity. And when you think of leadership, what comes to mind? You can write it. You can draw it. And be prepared to explain if we ask you what that drawing means so we can get it out. Be creative. And whatever you, when you think of the word leadership, what comes to mind? Think of the people back in your home group, the people back in your area, the people that you've emulated through the years. Or what do you see in yourself as a quality of leadership? And write it on the chart up here. Draw it on the chart. And then we're going to spend some time talking about the things that you wrote out up here. Because another section of this workshop, we're going to talk about, okay, you've identified what leadership looks like. How do you, when you see that in someone, how do you cultivate that? In other words, how do you grow that with a person? A person with 30 days, 60 days, I may not recognize those things in myself, and you may recognize something in me. How do you motivate me? How do you keep that going? A part of leadership is not only leading by example, but being able to inspire people to reach their highest potential. If those guys in my home group hadn't pumped me up and said, they allowed me to be the treasurer of my home group. This is so funny. They allowed me to be the treasurer, but wouldn't let me keep the money. I had about 90 days clean. And you know what? It didn't matter to me. I was so pumped that they allowed me, somebody that they didn't even know, to come into that group and gave me that responsibility. But they said, don't worry about holding the money. You just collect the money and count it. That was fine for this addict. And I was as happy, with that. And it inspired me and it motivated me to keep coming and to stay clean and to get more involved. So think about some of those things, write it out, draw it out, and let's talk about it. So this is your turn. Go for it.
Come on up here. Yeah.
Now, while those folks are going up, because I know everyone can't go, and you've probably been standing in merchandise lines, registration lines, you probably don't want to stand in another line, so look up under your seat and see if you have a rubber band around your chair. Who has a rubber band around their chair? Around the leg of the chair. Don't put one on there. If you're not honest, you'll use. The literature says that. The literature says that. I didn't make that up. You do? Okay, great. Hold your hand up. We got something for you. We got some giveaways here. There is value in coming to workshops. Remember what we said. When you go back to your areas to replicate these techniques, it doesn't take, there's several things that you can do to keep people in the workshop, keep them motivated. I know food is an option, but sometimes food is not always the best option. There are other little things that you can do to keep people, we're here to have fun also. So think of something you can go back to your home group or your area and you guys have something you need to talk about in your area. Just something that you can do back when those people take the time to come out on Saturday afternoon to talk about an issue in your area. Give them something. Do a little prize. Do a little giveaway. Excuse me. Doesn't take a lot of money to do this. I know we had it just for the days. But there are things that we can do if we get creative, and we're not talking about giving away TVs or cars or anything like that. We're just talking practical recovery items to people. Have fun with your workshop. Maybe I'm too loud. Is that better? Okay. I've been known to be loud. Thank you.
Thank you.
Capable of drawing a cow and a horse? A cow?
Moo.
And a horse? Nay. I want a cow and a horse. Yeah. Yeah. No, no. So he told me to draw a horse with udders. Okay. Anybody want to try a baboon? No? Okay. No. I'll tell you where I'm going with this while we're here. There are different kinds of literacy. Yeah? You know, there's different ways of comprehending. So there are different ways of learning, different ways of comprehending, different ways of literacy. And most of it, not all of it, see, here we have whoever put this up on the board, right? Here we have somebody who isn't a word thinker, who's an image thinker, and here we have a picture, another picture. I'm not sure you can all see it, but it's two people, stick figures together, one addict helping another. But there are different ways of literacy. And because we run these exercises, you know, we are all, many of us, compelled to use the straightforward word literacy, but we don't necessarily think in straightforward word literacy. So I was hoping to encourage some pictures. And the pictures, because we don't have them, I got Craig to draw a bee, and I myself drew a bird. This thing up here is a bird. Okay, think bird, or better yet, think flying goose. And that's why we're doing it, because there are a number of non-human creatures who have leadership patterns that we are familiar with. And so the horse and cow comes from Daniel. Those of you who were at the meeting last night, remember Daniel, German person who opened the meeting? So Daniel has this incredible... Okay, I'll tell you what I think of him. He's got this incredible story that he told us all at the World Service Conference last time about cows and horses. And so what you do, you're going to play this game for just a minute. Is this all right, Craig? I interrupt like this? Okay. What you do, if you want to play this game for just a minute, is what we do is we describe a powerful, influential, necessary, dynamic, meaningful, four-legged creature. And what we're trying to do is draw a picture, right? What we're doing, draw a picture of leadership. So we want you to describe this four-legged, meaningful, important, dynamic creature. And I've already given you the first thing. You say four legs. No, you're doing really good, but you're thinking in words, and I want us to draw it. Got it? So we've got four-legged. Mm-hmm. You're thinking in words, too. I don't want you to guess it. I want you to draw it. Yeah. Okay, lots of hair. I don't think we're ever going to get to cow now, but we'll keep going. A big heart, okay? A big-hearted, four-legged, hairy animal. We're doing fine now. A tail. It should have tail. It's going to swooshy tail. We're not trying to guess what it is. We're just drawing it. Ears, pointy ears. It's got ears. Good. Strong muscles. Okay, we're just about there. Are you all doing it? We're supposed to be drawing this now. Yeah. Okay, four powerful, strong feet that can hold themselves to the ground. Sharp teeth. Okay. I'm going to take one more, and then I'm going to tell you how Daniel worked this out. Yeah. Clear, clean eyes that can see well. Okay, so Daniel took all this information. We weren't actually drawing, and we're not drawing now, but he had a PowerPoint. He took all this information, and he said, if we described a leader that way, right, with those qualities, this is going to be a little problematic, but don't worry about it, we could get a cow instead of a horse. Can you do that? And you could see we could take all those and we could get a cow, we could get a horse, we could get other things, but we were limited. We only had the two PowerPoints, so it was a cow and a horse. And he said, we wanted the horse. We didn't want the cow, we wanted the horse. That is, we used all these things to describe this leader we wanted, and we were hoping to get a horse, but in our description of the leader, we got a cow. No. It's okay. You just needed that story. So some of the time part of the trouble with using words to get us what we want, some of the trouble is that we say what we want, but we end up with something different than what we wanted because we don't know how to describe really what we want. Okay, that's part of the story. Here's the second part of the story. I'm way too female to think that there's a problem with getting a cow. What's wrong with a cow? That was my thinking. Daniel, I wanted to say, what's wrong with a cow? Cows are really valuable, meaningful creatures. What if a cow's a good thing? So that led me to think about this animal thing. Because different animals, like us, have different leadership patterns. Cows have one leadership pattern. I really don't know what the leadership pattern among cows is, but they have one. Horses have a leadership pattern. Geese have a leadership pattern. Bees have a leadership pattern. And baboons have a leadership pattern. What we're doing here is we're thinking of our own leadership patterns. What leadership patterns really count for us? What really works for us? What really doesn't work for us? So I hope I haven't wasted all your time. And just imagine there are cows and horses and baboons up there, along with elephants. Nothing wrong with elephants or dogs.
Go, Chris.
Thanks, Mook. That was good. I mean, that was right? What I got out of that was that there are different roles and responsibilities that people play in our organization, in our fellowship. And everyone has a role to play. And if we can define from the very beginning the responsibilities, this is one of those things that comes back to technique and just being practical about it. When we ask someone to do something, the fifth concept says we define the task from the very beginning. And so we won't have unmet expectations or unrealistic expectations on people. I'm sorry, I'm talking too loud. If we define from the very beginning what the expectations are and what the responsibilities are, and then when people volunteer to help, share that with them and help them through the whole process. Cultivation of leadership is just not being elected to a position and then you just give me the box. I'm the secretary. I've just been elected. You give me the box and at that point I'm on my own. What about helping that person through the process throughout their term and that responsibility? Supporting them, nurturing that person, being an example, and having some influence over their term in service. Service is one of those things that is, recovery and service are not mutually exclusive. Service is a part of recovery. And it enhances my recovery, supposed to help enhance my recovery, not leave me feeling degraded and disrespected and just whacked out. Something to enhance my recovery. So let's hit on a couple of these things here before we shift gears, because we're going to talk about challenges to this, and we're going to talk about different ways of cultivating that leadership. So let's talk about a few of these things here. We're not going to go through all, but you guys did great, because you were thinking outside the box, and you were writing down some things that are obvious, but you were also thinking outside the box and writing down some other things. Second tradition, this leadership, second tradition, God-centeredness, servant leadership, integrity, mutual respect. Have you ever gone to a service meeting, whether it's area, home group, whatever, and all of a sudden it seems like everyone left their recovery principles at the door before they came in? Is it something that says we don't practice our own recovery principles while we're trying to be of service? Taking risk. Wow. Blaze a trail. knowing when to step aside, rotation. Use balance to keep group focused. Positive, let's, ego.
Let's talk about ego.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There?
Who wrote that one? Tell us about that.
I'm Andy, I'm an addict.
Andy.
And my experience when you were talking about more people, less service work going on in my area, I think, you know, I can relate it to the ego of some of the people that are rotating chairs for the last 10 years. But, you know, some people with addicts and ego is like mixing oil and water. Different, you know. Sometimes when they get in a position, they're, instead of a leader, they're more like a boss or a, you know, and their ego takes off with them, and, you know, some people, you know. That's just my experience, what I've seen, because their ego and their head get so big that, you know, they forget what they're actually there for, the primary purpose.
Thank you. Somewhere I read that I need to tread carefully when I venture into ego-inflating experiences. I read that somewhere. Has anyone else read that?
Yeah.
Craig, is it all right if somebody else comments on ego?
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Andreas Schmidt from Germany, and I think a lot of service is done through ego, and the service is done, and the door is open because somebody went out of motivation from his ego because he felt good. I was doing tape recording, and this was one of my first jobs in recovery, and I felt good because I could do the thing. And at the end, there were the tapes, and people had it at home, and I did it just out of ego because I wanted to do something and have had a good feeling through work. So ego is a two-side thing, you know. And I think we can really wait 50 years because somebody does the right thing out of the right purpose. And a lot of people come to closed doors because we do not allow somebody open the door because of his ego, or chair a meeting because of his ego, or do a literature job because of his ego. So it's really hard to make here a difference. And I think almost 100% of our service is done by ego. And it's done, and it's good. And I'm glad that somebody opens the door.
Very good point. Recovery, kindness, courage to stand on principles, selfless service, fourth concept, leadership. It's interesting we have fourth concept, second tradition. We do have literature already available that addresses leadership and provides us with some guidance. Promoting unity. Somebody want to speak on that? Promoting unity.
Who did that?
Who was that?
Yeah. I'm Larry. I'm an addict from Grants Pass, Oregon. I wrote that up there because I feel it's a responsibility of a leader to go for an agreement between the people, that does not divide the group. And I've been involved in occasions where I felt like the leadership has divided the group. And I walk away with a bad taste in my mouth when I see that happening. And it's painful, actually, to see us split up like that. So I just feel that's an important thing. Whatever part of leadership you're involved in, you know, you try to get us to work through. If we don't always agree when we vote on something, and we don't agree, if the vote is 4-3, let's ask the people that voted the 3 why they voted against it. You know, rather than just say, okay, 4-1 and move on. Let's find out why those 3 people voted against it. Let's discuss that. And try to get us to get all on the same page. And maybe we're all not going to agree, but when it's really close like that, we might want to really look at it a little deeper, rather than just divide it and say the 4 is won, the 3 is lost in the vote, and that's it.
Thank you.
Did anybody else want to say something about leadership that divides as opposed to unifies?
I'm Alex from Detroit, Michigan. Based on that question, I'm just going to read what our region did pertaining to unity, and I'm just going to read our purpose and sit on that. Unity Committee, our mission statement, to have discussions on the issues that divide us, such as prejudice in all its forms. Our goal is to become unified through our diversity by recognizing and accepting the first tradition. We pray that NA never becomes a gray, faceless collection of addicts without personality. We enjoy the color, the compassion, and intuitive, the rough and tough liveliness
that arises from the diverse personalities of our members. In fact, our diversity is our strength. We find that the stronger our individual members are, the more strongly united our fellowship becomes. Metro Detroit region. And we have guidelines, and we are standing committee now. We was ad hoc for two years, and now we are standing committee just like HNI and PI in outreach. Thank you.
Thank you. This is an interesting one. Help and let others change. Somebody want
to? Are you the person?
Yeah. My name is Chip, and I'm an addict from St. Petersburg, Florida. And I have a very good friend who has accused me of not letting others change. And that person is right. I sometimes get a perception of what a person is, and I forget that they grow. And I think that speaks, you talk about newcomers, and we see newcomers coming in with newcomer behavior. And we forget, and we have a perception of this newcomer. And so we identify them as with their bad behavior. And we forget that when they get a year clean, or 2 years clean, and 3 and 4 and 5 years clean, how these people actually, they're no longer the newcomer. They're practicing the steps and the traditions and the principles, because we have to change. And we have, number one, as a leader, I have to help people change rather than being dogmatic and dictatorial. I have to just make suggestions. But I have to stick to my principles that I know through my recovery and that have been taught to me by my sponsor. People change, and at times we don't recognize that change. We don't see the opportunity that the person has changed, and when we fail to see the opportunity that this person is changing, this person is on the fence, and they're changing, and we can help them over the other side, or we can throw them back the other way. And as I said, I have been accused of not letting other people change, and that is what I am working on in my life today, is not only helping but letting others change.
Thank you.
Let's take a couple over here, and I'm interested in this symbol. I saw somebody drawing that. Where is our artist? Here he is. Want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm an addict called Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Family. My group in my area, along with some other crafting people, allow me to be creative in a way that is comfortable to me, and I always try to look for a method to communicate whatever it is we're trying to do, whether it's a convention or a theme, in a graphic sense, so that I try to encapsulate exactly what you're looking for in a graphic sense. And here, I was a little quick, the leadership surrounding, obviously our logo, and maybe with a little think tank, if we sat down, we might take that member, plug it in the middle of the box, okay, get another word on that fourth one, but, you know, and if I were designing that logo for World within the box, I would have actually put, you know, the graphic of the world, you know, can't contain within that, but just always trying to think of a way to interrelate whatever it is you're looking for in a graphic, whether it be for a pin or a t-shirt, and I'm always thinking of, in 3 seconds, I want you to get the message that I'm trying to get across, with no more than that. That's the graphic and the purpose that I use.
Okay. Where's the little R for the registered train? Okay.
We haven't finished it yet. See, the group didn't approve it yet, so we didn't put that
on. Damn. Group conscious. That's good.
It's a rethink, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. Human diplomacy.
Who wrote that?
Wrote that.
This is the human diplomacy.
Why?
I'll come back.
Tell us about that, why.
It's like I don't run enough every morning.
Why an addict? I guess for me, what came to mind when I wrote, when I thought about human diplomacy, and to me, it's a culmination of all the spiritual principles, where, you know, the things that I've seen as a leadership quality in people was the ability to tactfully talk to people, whether it's in a home group setting or a business setting, or that setting where we go out, not as speakers for NA, but we go out to talk to people on behalf of a fellowship in narcotics now. And it's that diplomacy that allows me to try to go forth without any preconceived idea of what you are, who you are, or what you're going to say or what you might say, and just sort of, you know, just being open and to what other people have to say as well as what I may bring to the table. So that's what sort of came to mind when I thought about human diplomacy. You know, that good thing about us, you know, that sort of stands out. Something that...
Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wyatt.
Somebody want to answer that?
We could answer it, but it's not our phone.
Okay. So, you guys have wrote some interesting things down. You know, you have some ideas. We all have some ideas of what leadership looks like, what it could look like, what I might aspire to be, what I can inspire in someone else to be in reaching their potential. And we're gonna talk about some other things along those lines. Keep those pictures and these words in your mind. How do you cultivate that in someone? When you have an idea of that and you're trying to cultivate, you know, you plant seeds and you till the soil and you water and you nurture and you're growing something. Think along the same lines when our members come and the potential that they have that they don't know about, but that you know about because you've been here. And we're all, we may differ in rate of recovery and degrees of illness, but we're all the same. And so you know what that means, and you know where that person can go. How do you cultivate that in that person? What do you do? Keep that in mind. The other thing is, this is a good time for a giveaway.
That's right.
So, here are the questions. And if you're not honest, you'll use, I've already said that. Okay. How many people in this room right now, not in the past, right now, is a GSR?
Okay.
Don't have that many giveaways, but keep your hands up. We're going to work with you guys. No sub, just hold on. You're trying to sneak one in. We're just GSRs right now. Okay.
That's
a lot of hands.
GSRs. Keep them up.
How many of you have less than five? Well, how many of you have 5 years or more clean? Oh, the GSR. Oh, sorry. I didn't define the task from the very beginning. Okay. Those people that have their hands up that are GSRs, I'm going to split that around. Same hands. How many of you have 5 years or less? Less. GSR. The folks with the GSR hands. Your hand went up as a GSR. Your hand just came up. Okay. Gotcha.
It's hard. Following instructions is hard.
All right. Don't have that many giveaways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
How many of you have 3 years or less? GSRs.
You have to think about it. It's a good time.
Spit it out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
How about 1 year or less?
1 year or less in that group.
Oh.
18 months.
2 years.
2 years.
This is like a countdown backwards.
26 months.
Well, let's just do 3 years.
Well, I mean, you give out 18 monkey tag, you might as well.
Okay. So could we have the 3 years again? The GSRs for 3 years or less, and keep your hands up so I can get you things?
You win. The four of you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. Stick around. There are a couple more that we're going to give out. And you never know when it's going to fit you, Carrie. Sir? Oh, how many people in here do H&I work? Right now. Okay, let me ask you. How many people in here are involved with public relations? How many people are involved with public relations right now? Okay, I'm going to suggest to you that everybody's hand in here should be up. Are we not NA members? Anything dealing with anyone outside our program is public relations. Are we not doing public relations this weekend while we're here? think of all these folks walking around the convention that are not members, that see us. I've had a couple of people stop me and say, who are y'all? What are y'all doing here? When I was at the hotel. That's part of public relations. It's just, that's why I didn't answer when you said PI, because it's just not pub, it's just not PI. PI is a part of public relations. So everyone's hand should have been up. Okay, that was a tricky. Sir?
You and Ann Scott, what did you ask?
I told her we were here for a 4-day convention. We are a worldwide fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. And we're at the convention center, and come by. I just keep it simple and just answer the question and then tell her who we are. That's who we are. We're a worldwide 12-step organization called Narcotics Anonymous, and we're having a celebration of recovery down at the convention center for 4 days. We hope that you drop by. Right on.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears, and my counterpart is leading.
Okay, and as we switch gears, Craig, would you think of another giveaway game?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so my instructions, they don't send us here, right? Right. Where's Craig's list? I don't know where I put it, but on Craig's list, no, not this list. On Craig's list, it was give directions, right? In order to encourage people to do leadership, we shouldn't set them up, right? We shouldn't just, this is, go do this job and not tell people what job it is. Because if we do that, if we tell people, go do this job, and we don't tell them what job it is, it's too insecure. We don't like to be insecure. And the chances of failure are way great because we don't even know what the job is. We have no idea, right, if we can do it. But if we give people instructions and we tell them very clearly what the job is and what we expect of them, then you kind of can guess whether you're willing to try and move up to the position or move into the position. So they don't send us, nobody sends us, we don't send ourselves, I guess would be a way better way of putting that, we don't send ourselves into these situations and just say, oh, move, do what you want, and make sure that everybody leaves here thinking clearly about leadership. Oh, really? Okay. So, now, we have instructions, and my instructions say what we're supposed to do in this period, this part of the workshop is, we're supposed to talk about what it takes to cultivate leadership qualities, the kinds of qualities we have on the board, and what gets in our way, what are the obstacles, how do we stop ourselves, because we're really good at that, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just part of sort of the package that comes with being addicts, that we can set ourselves goals, and then without even telling ourselves what we're doing, we can figure out how to make those goals impossible to attain. So we need to know what we want to accomplish, how we cultivate it, and the kinds of things we do that get in our way. And then, of course, since what's the use of having a goal and an obstacle if we don't have some sense of what we can do to remove the obstacle? So to make this, like, really focused, hopefully I can remember, I picked one of these up here. Okay, I picked this one. The courage to stand on principles. Because certainly, that's a very clear quality that we want to encourage or cultivate in our leaders. We definitely want to encourage people to stand on principles, and we want to cultivate a capacity to stand on principles. So I thought I'd start with that one and say, to give us an example of how to play this exercise, and say, okay, what do we do that helps get in the way of people standing on principles? What are the kinds of actions we actually participate in that make it hard for people to stand on principles instead of make it easy for them to stand on principles? So that's our first question. We're going to take like a few people responding to that, and then we're going to move on to what can we do about that. I'm going over here. Oh, Craig's going someplace.
I'll go in the back.
Okay. We're just letting Craig go someplace.
Go to some people that hadn't spoken yet. They haven't had the chance.
I think my name's Brownie. I'm an addict. I'm from New York City.
Hi, Brownie.
I think one of the things that the membership does is they elect trusted servants. They put them in positions, and they don't trust them. You know, and they set them up for like before you used the word ego. I hear that word used a lot to assassinate a person that's in a trusted servant position. And I think sometimes the members confuse passion and dedication and commitment and responsibility for ego. Because if I can't conceive having those principles in my life and I see someone with them, it sometimes is confusing. that are members that have, that don't have those principles. So I think trust is real important. If you put someone in a position, I think you have to trust them. I think a lot of people use their mouths to destroy enthusiasm for area service, for the GSR position, for a lot of the positions in service. Instead of talking good about the people that sacrificed their lives in narcotics, sometimes we talk bad about them.
So let me just make sure I understand at least part of your point. If we want people to stand on principle, then we have to have some kind of common understanding of what the principles are we expect them to stand on. And we have to acknowledge and reward them for standing on those principles, not bad talk them for getting in our way. So I think, I just want to make sure that this is an example. So I was given a job to do this, at this convention. And my job was to work in the registration bureau. And, you know, you all had to stand in really long lines, and everybody didn't get exactly what they wanted, and there were some rules about who could, like, qualify for certain things, and I'm given instructions for how to make that work, right? And don't you want me to follow the instructions I'm given? So I'm given the instructions, and, you know, if we don't, you know, I'm doing my best to follow the instructions, and I think this is your point. You know what happened. Right? Do you know? Were you there long enough in line to know what happened? People want to be the exception to the instructions. Right? They don't want the instructions to disqualify them from something they want. So I think your point is, if we want our trusted servants to follow our instructions, we don't at the same time want to catch them up in, but for me, you know, I want the front row seat, or I know there must be some comedy ticket somewhere that you're stashing, or, you know, you got it? Right. We don't want to set them up, tell ourselves we want to live on by principles, and at exactly the same time require us to compromise our principles to get along. So I think it was a really good point.
I'm Shawande from Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm an addict by way of New Jersey. I think one of the things that, matter of fact, I know one of the things that I can do is not enforce intimidation and control on other people, but try to live and talk with people with the compassion of what NA stands for, the love of NA. And that is not to try to control nobody because I have more time or more information or more age or what have you, but stop the intimidation. I see a lot of that. People with more time than the other, they have arrived, and the person with less time can't tell them anything, so they feel intimidated. Sometimes they speak about it, sometimes they don't. But I feel intimidation is one of the things that we need to refrain from and to control it. Figure that you're my sponsor, so I'm your boss. You're my sponsor, so I'm your father. You're my sponsor, so I'm your big brother. And that's not what it's about. It's just simply the therapeutic value of one addict passing on to another. And last but not least, not so much of what I share, but how I share it. Me using foul language, intimidating language, prejudice language, if the people that are listening don't receive that well, they might hear it, but they'll walk away and don't use it. So intimidation, I think, is a factor we need to let go of.
Thank you. So that was really good. Now we have like a full circle. We have standing on principles is what we want to cultivate. We have at least one obstacle to why we make it difficult to stand on principle. And we have a solution. We have a way, a strategy of addressing our behavior so that we can make it easier for people to stand on principle. If we love them, if we're truly busy loving one another, if we really remember to love one another, then it won't be so, we won't make it so hard for people to stand on principle. So if I'm loving the person, this is for real, if I'm loving the person on the other side of the registration desk, I can treat that person with a lot more regard and respect. And if the person would be loving me back, right? One addict helping another, that's all that's going on here, right? If the person would be loving me back, the person would be not so inclined to give me a hard time about the rules that I've been instructed to enforce. And if we do it that way, we got some chance of teaching each other to stand on principle. Ready to try another one? I know, right, because right, we only have just so much time. But Craig.
And as you're thinking about those leadership qualities that Mook is going to pick, give us another one. Think of techniques that you can think of to cultivate that quality in somebody. What are some of the things? Is it mentoring? Is it just practical things that we can do with each other? And it doesn't have to think outside the box. I think we get institutionalized in our own guidelines sometimes. Think of things outside our current guidelines. We're growing. We need to change. So just don't get hung up on it's not in the guidelines. Think of something outside the guidelines, because the guidelines need to be revised and updated and improved. So think outside that.
So somehow there are all these hands up, and in my mind we're playing a process where I pick another one of those and you talk, but if you got hands up, you're not ready to pick another one and you talk. So I'm going to try one hand and see what happens, and otherwise we go back to the box.
Hello, my name is Excel. I'm an addict from Detroit. And cultivating leadership, but as people, see, you have a lot of people might have leadership ability, but they're not aware of it. And how we cultivate that, well, like Rick said, going out of the box, sometimes you might have to struggle. You have to say, man, you can do this. Other people, and we do that. Make people aware of their abilities. And that, to me, is one of the best ways to cultivate leadership. Because if a person is asleep, awakened in some areas.
Thank you. Laura has it, and we're just going with the flow here.
My name's Laura. I'm an addict.
Hi, Laura.
One of the most frustrating things for me is to be told, I'm not sure what I want you to do, but that isn't it. Again and again and again.
So that again, Lord,
the frustrating thing is, I can't tell you what I want, but that wasn't it.
And people say that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the need to have the clear direction up front, so that, like you said, you're not just thrown, get back there behind the registration table, and then to have criticism without the clear direction up front. So clear direction, I think, really requires mentorship. And maybe inside our service structure, having alternate GSRs, alternate secretary, alternate, you know, at the group level, those kinds of positions that are learning positions. And also to really cultivate as a basic value of our fellowship, that service is what we do, and this is the way we do service.
So we're not in the back now. So I heard both Laura and Excel say to us that we need to encourage people to do service. This is cultivation. We need to encourage them. We need to mentor them. We need to grow them. Right? We need to be there for them. We need to help the people, the newer people, newer than us, or scareder than us, or less experienced than us. We need to grow them up, and to grow them up means we need to give them the directions, we need to give them instructions, we need to give them feedback, we need to give them love, we need to give them attention. Right? So if that's the goal, if that's the cultivation goal, and I think it is, and I think it's a really good one, but in case you care, if that's the goal, what do we do? How do we subvert ourselves? What kinds of strategies and tactics do we take commonly that stand in the way of achieving that? Because that doesn't seem like, not like difficult to achieve, but it doesn't seem like a bad thing to want to do. So let's identify some of the things we do that stand in the way of that.
I'm an addict. My problem is called Kristen. I think like the best thing to do to cultivate leadership is to give everyone a job. Like, call it something. Like, I teach preschool, and in my line of work, what I do to help my students feel like more confident is everyone has a job. Like, everyone has a responsibility. It doesn't matter if they have a day clean or, you know, 10 years, just like a job. Like, you're going to be a greeter today. You're going to hang out and take notes at the meeting, you know, just to give responsibility so that we can feel part of.
So taking everything that everyone just said, including you, what are some of the obstacles that we have, challenges, obstacles right now that get in the way of mentorship, encouraging people, defined and tasked from the very beginning. These are not new things. We've heard these. Tell me, what is the obstacle that you face in doing that?
Well, you know, I heard Kristen identify an obstacle sort of from the backside, which is, do we do that? Do we take responsibilities in our home groups to make sure that people have something to do, some make them part of? Do we take responsibility to make people part of when we can see that they've reached the stage where being part of is essential to them and their development as a recovering addict? We have someone else who maybe will describe an obstacle to us.
Morning, everybody. My name is Rodney. I'm a grateful recovering addict from Connecticut. I think a lot of things I see, because I'm going to go outside the box. We forget patience, because we want it done right now a certain way, and nobody's going to give this person a chance to actually learn the job. I mean, being in management myself, I see it a lot. So like I said, I'm going outside the box here. A lot of us sometimes forget to put principles before personalities. We expect everybody to be like us. Despite the fact we may have been around a few 24s, I'm no better than anyone else. And we tend to forget that. Get a little time clean, get some of the toys back, some of the perks back. And we expect everybody to do it this way, you know, but nobody gives that person the chance to actually grow. If it's not done right now in a certain way, they don't know what they're doing. This is BS, or whatever the case is. You know, we stand in our own way for a simple word called patience to allow a person a chance to actually grow, to actually learn it, because we're supposed to be all that. You know, despite the fact that I'm a boss and I'm not middle, I'm doing okay today. That's by God's grace. But to pass it on to somebody else, because when I got to go into a store and I got to troubleshoot a store here and there, if I come in like Thor, nobody's going to hear a thing I'm saying. But if I come in with a little bit of compassion and ability and say, I'm patient to work with you here. Don't worry about it. You're going to make mistakes. But this is how we fix them. There's not a mistake you make that we cannot fix that puts a person at ease. At least I found it works a lot. You know, but we got to have the patience. And that's what I see we lack a lot sometimes, for whatever reason. I mean, I'm still sick. I own that. But I got to remember at all times to put principles before personalities. Because if I don't put that first, there's no way I'm going to have the patience to even show anybody how to walk the left, let alone the right, and let alone take on a job that's going to make you go crazy. Thanks.
Thank you. So we got, in that one, an obstacle, impatience, demandedness, judgmentalness. So we have a lot of obstacles to how we fail to mentor. And we got a solution. It's not unlike the solution of being more loving. We now need to be more patient.
I'm an addict. My name's Earl.
Earl?
I'm an addict. My name's Earl. I'm from Detroit. I believe the problem is in rotation of service. You have older members who get a position and think that that's a career move and stay there forever. That's how that's how a new member gets to, you know, learn what they're doing is to get the opportunity to do it. You know, but if our old timers are going to sit there and study, take this position over and over again, how is he ever going to use what he's learning? You know, and also, you know, consistency. You know, a lot of things need to be consistent. By being consistent in the way that we think, you know, like we have these rules, as they call it, rules of the tradition and stuff. You know, you got to follow them and be even-handed with it. A lot of times we're not. You know, we say one thing and then we'll do another. You know, it's like you were talking about that registration thing. You know, if you waver any type of way, you got to learn to just be consistent. And that's a very key, important thing for me, is to be consistent.
Okay, so we want to learn to be consistent. We want to learn to be honest about the degree to which we hang on to positions, because nobody can do it better than me. You know? I don't know. But nobody can. I'm the best, right? So why would I want to give it away and let you do it? Which is the obstacle, right, to nurturing leadership, to having fresh ideas. And we know from our own literature what the solution to that is. The solution is rotation, honest rotation. So we're going to do one more. Then I have another exercise for us to do. And the really good thing about the other exercise is it ends in a giveaway.
Hi, I'm Beth. I'm an addict from Greater Pensacola area, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I'm a PI chair for my area. And one of the things that I've noticed is for the longest time, we have a tendency to take this position, give it to somebody, and completely forget about it. And then when things start coming up and things start going wrong, it's like, well, that stupid person, you know, I would have done it this way. I would have changed that. And right now I'm trying to shake things up and try to put things, you know, I've studied up on it and everything. But I didn't have anybody tell me anything. I had to figure all these things out for myself, and I've made some mistakes. And some things weren't mistakes, but other people saw them as mistakes. And there's all this criticism going around, and I'll have something come back to me after, like, it's gone through five people saying, well, I don't know why she didn't do it this way, and why didn't she buy this kind of literature, and how come she's putting that kind of literature out, and what is she doing this for, and what is she doing that for, and I would do this, and I would do that. But none of these people, none of them, come to my PI meetings, and I try to have two a month, because I feel that because we're so behind on everything and there hasn't been anything happening, you know, in public information for a really long time, that we need more meetings. And then I hear everybody complaining about all the meetings and they're still not coming. You know, I'm not saying you have to go to two PI meetings, you know what I'm saying? But it's just criticism after criticism, but nobody's really, you know, finding any solutions or putting, you know, their own self into it.
Okay, so it's sort of like we're playing the game backwards. Now we know what the obstacle is, right? The obstacle is criticism after criticism after criticism after criticism, right? Right? We know that obstacle. We've all experienced that obstacle. We could do the solution, but if we just want to be a little tiny bit creative, what's the goal that criticism after criticism after criticism is the obstacle of? What is all that criticism standing in the way of?
Oh, hello, my name is Daryl, and I'm truly grateful for coming at it today. I just wanted to bring on one experience that I had when I first came around, and, you know, and it dealt exactly with this, with leadership, and it dealt exactly with that courage to stand on principles. I was a GSR, and my home group, that's not my home group now, that was back in 87. Now, the first time I was a GSR, I had, every time we would have a business meeting, the business meeting was chaotic. There was half the people screaming and yelling, you don't have enough claim time, you don't know how these principles work. Got another half of the room, let them be, we can help them out. And it just kept going on and on. This went on for weeks. I mean, they were getting loud, they were getting almost close to being physical. I went to one person that I knew and I told her, I said, I'm stepping down to GSR because I love that group, but I cannot take this. And she said, try it just one more time, girl. She said, the GSR is very important. That's the person that keeps things going, you know. So I did. I went back to that group. I said, I'm going to do this. You know how somebody give you a suggestion, so you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway? I went back. We had a business meeting. Before I got to the business meeting, I had about three or four people coming up to me who were yelling and used to yell and scream at me, came to me and told me and hugged me and said, I apologize, I'm sorry. Different times, not all together. I'm sorry. I should be here helping you. You are a member of this fellowship. And I love you, and I'm sorry, and from now on, I will try to be here to help guide you. I have more clean time than you. You are the GSR, you are elected as a GSR, and I'm going to be here. And I was like, she must have told these people to say that. No, she didn't tell. She never spoke to any of them. And what was missing, and what it all came to, was the faith in a higher power, my faith in this fellowship, to just listen, take suggestions, and my God, to bring me through this, and it worked. And my group, that's still my home group. And that's how it works. That's how it works for me.
So here's where we are now. That was beautiful, Daryl. And, in fact, a really good place. So this is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It's a gift to us. Daryl got it there in the middle of this GSR controversy. It's a gift. It's a gift of our higher power to us. And we serve it. And we do the best we can. And we've been doing these solutions. So here's the game. Everybody have a piece of paper they can write on and an implement they can write with. We have a number of giveaways. Here's what I want you to write down. When you finish writing, stand up. The first X number of people who have finished writing and stand up, I'll come around or Craig will come around and give you the microphone and you get to read what you've written down on the paper. And here's the question. What am I, the you, the person writing, what am I, the person writing, willing to actually do for the next few months to be part of the solution to creating obstacles? What am I going to do? And I really mean this. It's a giveaway, but I really mean it. I found from these workshops that one of the things I carry away that's really valuable to me is a commitment to do things. A positive commitment to take action that's not action that Yvonne's going to take, right? It's not action that Kristen's going to take. It's not action that Billy's going to take. It's action that Mook's going to take. So you can't make it anything like, you know, I'm going to save the universe. You got to make it something you're capable of doing and carrying out. So, okay,
Right. Stand up. And, Craig? It's going to go like this. Okay? That's enough. I think we have about as many giveaways as we've got, so let's go. You're first.
I'm Harold, an addict from San Jose, California. So I pledge to invite more newcomers to service committee meetings and then to follow up after they attend that service committee meeting to make sure they stay involved.
Aloha, my name is Steve. I'm an addict from Indianapolis. I have promote service. I'll share this workshop with my home group and sponsor and sponsees. I will look for ways to inspire leadership in others. And I will challenge myself and others in my sponsorship family.
Craig, do you have somebody? Did you give a gift to somebody? No, you don't.
I'm going to have my name Eric.
Hi, Eric.
And I'm from the Washington, D.C., Chesapeake and Potomac region, Narcotics Anonymous. And what I found that I can do to be a more participant in not only my home group but my region as a whole is to be more open-minded, more tolerant, and more compassionate of others. And sometimes the best thing I've learned to do is, if I don't know, say I don't know. You know. And a lot of times I found half of the problem is my ego. I do not like removing it out of the way. And one thing I've learned from my first step was control is impossible the moment it's suggested.
So does that mean for the next period of time, you're going to say, I don't know a lot?
No, that means that for the next period of time, I'm just going to be quiet.
Excellent.
And let a second tradition take place.
Okay.
With my vote counting only as one and not the final answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Wyatt, quick, what are you going to do? What is Wyatt going to do and go back to Charlotte and do?
I just simply put on why not. I just simply put I'm going to be more willing and open to new ideas and suggestions of things possibly outside the box. Because I've been around a while and I've been operating inside the box. And I think it's maybe time to, as we talked about here, as Craig mentioned, doing some things that are not in violation, but things that are outside the box that would help us grow.
Thank you.
You better have an idea. This woman cut my hair in San Francisco when I was there for the Western Service days. So, hey, the Western Zonal Forum. So, hey, is this cool or what?
And we didn't know each other was clean. I thought she looks really familiar. So that is so cool. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. I have welcome newcomers. My name is Debbie, an addict. Speak up when I hear criticism or people not nurturing people. Because sometimes I think being silent allows it to go on. And take people to service meetings but hold the commitment myself so it does help a learning commitment.
Thank you.
And your name is Bobby?
Yes.
What are you going to tell us? What are you going to do, Bobby?
Hi, Bobby from New York.
Hi, Bobby.
I have a book study in my home. We do specifically the 12 concepts for NA service because there are many people who have never heard of the 12 concepts. And, you know, with this, many women, because it's all women, we're getting more interested in the 12 concepts, and each month it keeps growing. And I'm going to continue this book study.
Well, thank you. We have Adrian over here.
Hey, family. I'm an addict. My name is Adrian. What I wrote exactly is I'm willing to do anything to be involved in changing the problems. And I do that by mentoring sponsees. And what we do is once a month we get together the entire sponsee family. And it's not to work steps or traditions. It's to bond and get to know each other and talk about the program. And we talk about what service commitments people can do. And, of course, I've done a lot of service, but I haven't done everything. And when somebody shows an interest in something, we say, well, why don't you call so-and-so? They've been involved in that committee, and they can tell you about it, and maybe that's what you want to do. You know, so we encourage constantly. And we do that by getting to know one another and what each other's, you know, positive qualities are.
Last one, and then we're going to wrap this up. And this is Joanne. Joanne, what are you going to do?
Help a newcomer and be open-minded and not kill the messenger. You know, listen to the message. Because sometimes when they're newcomers, you think that they're talking inside of their neck. And I have to be open-minded because I was a newcomer one time.
Thank you.
And thank you all. Before we close, there's a couple of points we want to bring out. First of all, thank you for attending and your willingness to be participants and
thank you.
Sticking around through the whole from beginning to end and helping us out with this. Again, this is practice. You guys can take this back. We hope that the workshop heightened some of your awareness about leadership in Narcotics Anonymous and what we can do and what you can do as an individual. And that you've heard some things in here that you can use. Obviously, in 90 minutes, we're not going to cover it all. But the thing is to make a start and to make some inroads and to change the culture in our fellowship and to help create an atmosphere of opportunity for others to be involved. Last thing, envision this. You guys with the vision, we were talking about the animals and visualizing what that leadership looks like. Envision this. A system in Narcotics Anonymous where from the very first moment the member walks into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, they are plugged in somewhere. From the very first moment that member comes. And it's a system that's not, unity is not the same thing as uniformity, but it's a system in our program where we have the mindset that from the very first moment a newcomer comes, we plug him in somewhere. And we also take into account that we come from different backgrounds. Some people come here a little bit more prepared than others. But we have a system that says, if you're willing and capable, we plug them in. And they go all, and it's a system that takes you through one day clean, 5 years clean, 10 years clean, whatever the case may be. And you have an opportunity to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. And at each point in that system, the more you grow in your understanding of our organization and spiritual principles, the responsibilities change. And it's a system that's worldwide, that's in our fellowship. So what I'm saying to you is, remember where you heard that at first. More will be revealed. More will be revealed. Think about it. A system in our program that from the very first moment a member walks in, they are plugged in. Because we all know that service helps keep me clean. And that somebody did it for me. And so I have a responsibility to do it for others. So from the very first moment that newcomer walks in the door, some way, shape, form, or fashion, being that we have autonomous groups, that member is plugged into service. And it takes them all the way through. How many of you, and this is the last point I'm through, how many of you know members that have 10, 15 years clean, 20 years clean, and they have retired from service? Right, and I just heard somebody mention it. This is not a career for me. This is my recovery is not a New Year's resolution that I just made that I'm going to try out. This is my life. It's not a career. So I don't retire from recovery. And I don't retire from service. So we're talking about a system that the gift that keeps on giving, not only takes the person that first comes in the door, but also takes you through your whole recovery process and a system that allows us to utilize those members that have done service and have the experience, that we can keep them involved in service some kind of way and make use of that experience. Thank you all for coming. We love you. Have a wonderful adventure.